This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Oh, very little. We get very little. They don't like covering us.
They like being a very special world.
They like us. Thank you very much. It's a great honor to have Prime Minister Netanyahu and Mrs. Netanyahu with us. They've been friends for a long time. We have, I would say, probably the best relationships right now with Israel that we ever had. I think we're as close now as maybe ever before. Jerusalem was a wonderful thing, and I know it was very much appreciated in a big part of the world, not just in Israel, in a very big part. So that was a decision that I had to make. Many presidents were discussing whether or not to make that decision, and they promised it in their campaigns, but they never were able to do what they should have done. So I was able to do it, and I think it's something that's very much appreciated in Israel, but far beyond Israel. We are very close on trade deals. We are very, very close on military and terrorism and all of the things that we have to work together on. So the relationship has never been better, and Mr. Prime Minister, Mrs. Netanyahu, it's a great honor to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, appreciated that, you know, under the Trump administration, they could come through the front door, you know. Where, you remember that one point? I couldn't believe it. You know, like you snuck him in through the back door or something. I mean, what was President Obama thinking? I don't know. But definitely times have changed, and Benjamin Netanyahu and his family, his wife, look forward to coming to America to meet with President Trump, who is pro-Israel. And, now we just need to see the fulfillment of the embassy, you know, moving to Jerusalem in spite of some of the action and some of the... Again, see, you get... Anytime you change things, people get nervous. It's always been, you know, it's kind of been this way. All these presidents talk about moving the embassy to Jerusalem, and it's like as if there's going to be some sort of world crisis because you have the president doing, you know, actually fulfilling his promise, kind of like Ed Pizzuoli said earlier, is that you got a president who is fulfilling his campaign promises. And somehow he's the bad guy, and sometimes, you know, particularly people on the left go, oh, that was a real surprise. How was that a surprise? You guys are doing opposition research all over. You're checking this guy's three ways a Sunday. You know he's been if he says something, he follows up on it. That's what has been his pattern. And you act like, well, you never heard that before. You know, it's like, wait a minute, as close as you were tracking him, as much fun as the media was making about Donald Trump and everything he said, scrutinizing every word and tittle and period and exclamation point, and you act like it's all a big surprise. Kind of amazing. But, hey, look, the story continues, and, you know, we're glad a good percentage, I would say, of America is happy with the improved relationship with Israel. Today, by the way, is Dentist Day. Now, I'm not sure how you connect these, but we have a Dentist Day today. And then right on the heels of that is also National Oreo Cookie Day. Maybe that's why they should go together, you know, like peas and carrots, I guess. So Dentist Day, National Oreo Cookie Day, and then right behind that is National White Chocolate Cheesecake Day. So in case you don't have reason enough to go see the dentist, then, you know, you fill up on Oreo Cookie Day. I mean, because, like, Oreo cookie, are they lethal or what? You just can't have one. They're like potato chips, you know. And I it's everything I can do to, I love Oreo cookies, and it's everything I can do. I think it's been a while since I've delved in, but it's not to say that I haven't been tempted, you know, but I gotta tell you, I'm not one of those, Brad, are you one of those double cream filled guys, you know, with Oreos?
I love those.
You like the double cream?
Oh. Yeah.
The double cream, it's just too much for me. I just even looking at it is too much. It's too overwhelming. So maybe that's what keeps me from even getting into the normal ones. And I'm not much into the midget. The midget Oreo, because I think if you got to go, you just got to go normal, you know?
Right.
You know, this little Oreo, I think that's all a false promise, in my humble opinion, anyway. Hey, look, we've got a lot going on even in this final hour of Bill Martinez Live, so stay with us. Tom Chez is coming up next, the founder of Armored One. We're going to get an update on what's been going on, in, not only in South Florida, but in other schools when it comes to school safety. Stay with us. 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound?
As my friend would say, sometimes you got to stop yourself before you wreck yourself. This is the problem with an emotional debate that's taking place in our country, is we're getting ourselves all revved up over, gun control. And, you know, admittedly, at least some people who are connected to reason will say anything we're proposing here wouldn't make anything different. So then why do we go through this exercise but just to get ourselves all revved up emotionally? And really, I think experience has taught us more than once that when we lead with emotions, then, you know, we're not very effective with the choices that we make. But I think we have an opportunity here to slow down just a little bit, you know, kind of, again, I mentioned Ed Pizzulli, because we were talking with him earlier, and he's down there in South Florida, and his kids went to school nearby, and so he's very familiar with the area. And he's concerned, as many of us are, is that we're, legislators and everybody, state legislators, everybody's all, you know, quick to react on an emotional level and just saying, hey, tone it down just a little bit. Let's get the facts. Let's have a real debate and discussion about this so that hopefully when we come away with this, we're actually affecting good policy that's going to protect our kids. As promised, Tom Chiz is with us. He's the Armored One founder. Tom founded Armored One in response to Sandy Hook. He lives near the area, saw the vulnerability of the kids in school, and says, wait a minute, something's got to be done about this. And Tom's background includes being a SWAT team operator and a detective. And frankly, here he is in this kind of authority, in this kind of position. He felt helpless to protect his loved ones against an emergency situation. And that's not a good feeling. But, you know, Tom, steady as she goes, says, look, even when I look at that reality, it's quite scary, but we need to do something about it. Tom, let's bring you on right now. Tom Chiz with Armored One on Bill Martinez Live. Tom, how are you?
Good, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, always good to have you on. We've had you on several times since what happened at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, and you have been a voice of calm and reason, and I thought it was appropriate to bring you back several weeks down the road here to say, what have we discovered, and where do we go from here, Tom?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what we're seeing are some key flaws in school districts across the United States, what they're doing to protect against an active shooter. And Florida definitely had those flaws going on in their school district. And, of course, we've already seen what's happened with the FBI and Broward County sheriffs.
Mm-hmm.
So there were errors all over. Mm-hmm. The school itself, part of their big problem was the actual training portion of what they've done to train staff members. And we see this constantly over and over again in the United States, where they'll train just certain staff members and they'll train it to a state level, which, of course, we know in every state that we're in across the United States that they have very minimal levels of what they're telling people to do. Mm-hmm. One, probably because they don't want to take on liability of giving a detailed description like a Homeland Security or FBI would for their training. Mm-hmm. So they give you very minimal on that, and there's very little requirements too, state to state, when we go there. So the same was for Florida, like it is New York, Arizona, Arkansas, other states that we've worked in. They give very minimal amount of time, and it's not a requirement other than maybe a 20-minute training per year on this. And clearly, you need more than 20 minutes of training when it comes to surviving or helping kids survive.
That seems like a transactional decision here, something that could be done quite immediately, and nothing that requires legislation or, you know, some regulatory body to oversee it. Does it not, Tom?
I agree with you. I'd love to have more superintendents or more people in charge of schools and board members that see this as a priority, and it doesn't have to be legislation, like you said. It doesn't have to be. But the sad thing is 5 years, I've called it a fight, for over 5 years since Sandy Hook happened in December of 2012, we have been fighting with schools trying to get them to open their eyes to a reality of what's going on in America, that these shootings are happening and we're trying to protect your kids, even offering tons, I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars in free training for school districts over and over again. We'll give it to you for free. And they say no to us. It's not going to happen here. Or the typical response has been, we don't want parents getting upset thinking that this could happen here. Well, the truth is it could. And as a parent, majority of us now should be reassured if training is going on, instead of worried that it might happen if they train that way.
Tom, are you telling me, this is the ridiculous perspective here. You're going to tell me, though this happened in Florida, the kids as far away as California were not affected by what they saw on television, and their eyes opened up to the reality that they could be vulnerable? You're telling me the kids are not considering that?
I had one of my instructors out in Milwaukee that did training, and when we did the training for the school district, one of the teachers came up to my instructor, and he was telling him, he said, Mike, my kid was crying the week after the Florida shooting. A 10th grader was crying. Mm. In fear of going to his own school in Milwaukee.
Right.
I believe pretty much every kid across the United States is aware of what's going on. These middle school to high school age kids, they're paying attention, and they get that live stream of everything on their phone probably before we do as parents, of knowing between their Snapchats and social medias and everything that they're doing. They're aware of what's going on, and they do have a fear. Even my own kids are scared that this could happen. And we just had over the weekend my own children's school that we do a ton of work with, and we protect them, and we have a very proactive, probably the best in the nation, superintendent. They had a threat, and the police were investigating it all weekend and did multiple press releases on what was going on with that threat from one of the students. And, you know, that fear is definitely there, especially when they see what's going on in Florida.
Tom, they think it's about gun control, and I say it's about school safety. You know, we've been trying to control guns, but you're trying to control humanity here. You're assuming that there's no evil person on the planet. I mean, that's, we're deluding ourselves. Even when you take away all the guns, I mean, there's so much empirical evidence that is proven that, look at these gun safe zones just are not working. And if anything, they're just leaving us, in this case, our kids vulnerable and making them, you know, prime targets here. This is not good. We've got to grow. The adults in the room have got to grow up, and quick.
Yeah, they definitely need to stop using scapegoats and blaming mental illness or just guns as the issue, where you're exactly right. Making a soft target, not having school resource officers, not having trained personnel there that would know what to do if there was a shooter that would be armed, is part of the solution. And saying that it's mental illness is another scapegoat that you're seeing nonstop every single day since the shooting. How is it that this kid had years of counseling and therapy, yet he still shot up a school? He's a sociopath or a psychopath. I did 5 years of homicide. There is something mentally wrong with these people when they do that. And I've never, as a detective, had to investigate 17 people being murdered in a high school. That is a straight-up psychopath. That is beyond mental health. That is beyond some psychologist sitting down with him for a year and saying, we've made it all better, and he can't buy a gun. You know, those days are way beyond that, and it is about preparing your schools either way, because if guns were gone today, and we said they're illegal, and now it's like it is in England, that we're taking away everybody's guns, it's at least 10 years before half the guns are off the streets.
Exactly.
It's about half the people saying to the government, okay, we're going to follow your laws, here's my guns, which I don't think would happen in America anyways. But if they said that, there's still half the guns.
Exactly.
On the streets, and you know criminals get guns. They will find a way to kill.
We got to go to break, Tom. Let's pick it up when we come back right there. Armored One founder Tom Chiz on Bill Martinez Live. Stay with us.
Would it be okay if you had two paychecks instead of one? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up? And I said, sure, Ryan. And in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want? Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, our founding fathers thought that that was the be-all and end-all, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, but it's up to us. as bastions, as protectors of these incredible freedoms, that we continue to fight the good fight. Armored One founder Tom Chiz is with us, created Armored One shortly after Sandy Hook, when his own children in schools nearby, he realized the mass shooting happened there at Sandy Hook. As a SWAT team operator and detective, felt helpless to protect his loved ones against an emergency situation. And thank God for us and for those many people that he has helped. He has been passionate about protecting our children, and in many ways has been the tip of that spear. Tom, no doubt, you know, some schools are starting to react, some states, and have said, look, we want to empower and train teachers so that they can be concealed carry authorized and trained and all that. I think some people, and particularly on the Democratic and the progressive side, not to make this thing political, but they're all concerned. You know, they think that they're just going to start handing guns out with number two Ticonderoga pencils to all the teachers on the campus. I mean, it's like, it's not going to happen, you know? Come on. People know, especially responsible, you know, and I would say most of us are responsible gun owners, know that, look, at the last thing you want to do is to get into a gunfight. And you also know that if you send a round down line, you own that round. And so you better make sure that it is right. I mean, we see police officers even have to be accountable when they send a round down down range. So as civilians, even more so, right?
Correct. You're so that's what we get to, is people want to say that they're going to have soldiers. Well, soldiers aren't to the same accountability even as police officers, and civilians are held to the same standards as police officers. Every round that comes out of your gun, you're accountable for. And I will tell you, if you're in a situation where kids are being murdered around you and you're trying to stop them with a gun, you are going to do the best you can do. Mm-hmm. But if you miss and you hit one of those children and you kill somebody else, you are going to be arrested for manslaughter.
Yes.
You killed someone else's kid, and you're proof that you're trying to do better by stopping somebody. Well, if that was my kid, or the people listening, if that was your kid, how would you feel if that teacher, even though he's trying to stop the shooter, killed your child? You still don't have your child.
That's right.
Because they weren't trained properly. They didn't know what their capabilities were. That's the issues that we're going to run into with certain things, too.
Well, this is the 21st century America we live in. Tom, to be honest with you, you know, I have a concealed carry permit. And one of my admonitions to all that carry is that you better know how it works. You just can't go to the range once or twice a year. You need to be proficient with that. You have a concealed carry for a reason. It comes with responsibility, and you need to be trained and acutely familiar with you know, with your gun, so that God forbid that you would be in that situation. It's not, and really, in all the numbers, though, Tom, what are we looking at? I mean, there's such a small percentage of times that you have to fire your weapon, and what we're finding out here is that in some cases there's been reports anywhere from 100,000 to a million times, and we don't hear about this, where a gun was used to stop an incident and not have it go any further. Where, you know, either the perpetrator was shot or anybody else was shot. It was just the idea that you had a counteractive force against somebody trying to do harm.
And I agree with you 100% on that. And my thing, and you'll hear from a lot of police officers or law enforcement, that we want good people with guns. I expand that and say I want good people that are trained with guns.
Yes, amen. I'm with
Last
you.
Last week I was sitting down with an architect firm going over specifications of what can help a school, help protect the schools with security measures. And we got, of course, into the gun talk, them knowing that I did SWAT and what I do, and my Navy SEAL guys that work with us are Delta Force. And one of the guys admittedly said, I've had to carry conceal for 5 years, and I really don't even know how to clean my gun. My buddy cleans it for me.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And that's what I said to him. I said, you have a gun that can take someone's life on your hip. You don't even know how to clean it. You shouldn't be carrying it.
That's right.
And one of the other guys, it goes, I have to admit it too, I shoot with them, and both of us don't know how to clean the guns. I said, you should take not only training courses, but extensive training courses. That way, because you could be saving your family's life, not even your own life, but you could be saving your family's life when you're out somewhere by having that gun on you. Or you could be saving innocent people. You could have a massive attack at a mall where they're killing kids and adults. and you need to know what your capabilities are, what you're able to do. That way, if you are going to try to step in and intervene, you might have to cut the gap down to 30 feet between you and the bad guy who has an AK-47. That is very dangerous and very, very likely you're going to be shot and killed.
Well, in that kind of situation, as you know, even law enforcement at 30 feet, you're not hitting 100% of your shots. I think the rule is somewhere, you know, maybe a little less than 50. I got to imagine civilians probably got to drop down even less than that, maybe 25-30% or something.
Yeah. Our police officers, they train stationary, a lot of them train stationary with a stationary target.
Right.
Now not only are you moving and your target's moving, but he's also shooting back and can kill you. That's why when you see police officer shootings and people can't stand it, they shot 30 times at this guy. Well, they only hit him 10 times.
Right.
People don't die like they do in the movies. They're not shot and fall to the ground or get blasted back. We had one guy who killed a police officer after he was shot 21 times with a 9mm, and he still was able to kill the police officer before he died.
Wow.
It's a different life.
It is, and it's a different world that we live in, this 21st century America where the dangers abound. And I think Rush Limbaugh said it very appropriately as a warning that the next shooter is already out there. And to your point, Tom, even if we were to tomorrow decide we're going to take all the guns off the street, you know, even 10 years down the road, we'd be lucky to claim that 50% of the guns are off the street. So they're going to find a way. So we need to look at this in terms of what we can do now. Even those schools that are reticent that may still have their head in the sand and think, hey, it's not going to happen here, and they're real slow in doing something, there's something that parents and the kids can do now. Tell them what they can do.
For the parents first, you can finally really parent your kids. As bad as that sounds, but it's not only parenting them by being mom and dad, but getting into their business, getting into their phones and seeing what they do. Over and over again on these interviews and police interviews of active shooters, parents, they say, I never pictured my kid could have done this.
Mm.
But yet, Columbine killers have multiple guns and pipe bombs in their house and the parents have no idea. Go through their stuff. You are a parent. Your kids are not equal to you. They are children and they need to be treated like children until they're up and out of your house. You're allowed to go through their stuff. You're allowed to look into their things and see what they're doing. But not only if your kid, you know, there is a possibility it could be your kid if you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
But not only that, but your kid's friends and associates are the ones who are shooting up these schools. So if you're looking through their social media, checking on stuff, and you see a kid talking like the one did in Florida, and I don't ever say their names, the shooters, you know that, talking before.
Right.
But that attacker in Florida making the post that he made, imagine yourself, listeners, seeing that on your kid's phone, on a YouTube channel, on a Facebook, on an Instagram, and you see that saying that he's going to be the next professional school shooter, you would be reporting it. But you wouldn't see that if you weren't into your kid's business. So get into your kid's business and parent them. Make them realize that they are children, that you're the boss, that adults are in charge, police are in charge, teachers are in charge. Let's start instilling that into our children again and doing that.
And we need to count, Tom, we need to counter what's come out of the institutions, out of the school, telling the kids, hey, you have rights. You know, because that's something that we've heard a lot in the last decade. You can't do that. I have rights. No, you have privilege because you live under my roof. But we bought into that lie, and it's been a pushback, and it's come from the school system, Tom, that has put that on the kids, and the kids echo that out. I'm gonna contact a lawyer. I'm gonna call the police. I'm dialing 911, and that stuff's got to stop. But, okay, go ahead. What else? We got about a minute left.
I agree with you. The school's pushing that on the kids, and then they're mad at the same time when a kid says to them, you're not doing this, you're not looking in my bag, you're not touching my phone, I have my rights. But they're the ones that are teaching them that. And in over about 20 years of police work, I've been told that probably 200-300 times that you can't do this. I know my rights, and you're wrong. You're a child. You don't have that.
Right.
Schools are allowed to search their kids. They don't need a reason. They're allowed to look into their backpacks. They're allowed to look in their lockers. So you're privileged to walk on their property. And kids,
exactly.
Kids try to argue that with the school districts, and then parents go to bat for their kids. My kid has rights. That's got to stop. That's all got to change.
Without a doubt. Well, Tom, I look forward to having you back. Keep us up to date on everything that's going on, and whatever we can do to support you, count us in. Armored One founder Tom Chiz on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816, 800-540-8816, 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you. 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline. 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Across the country, on your smartphone, and around the world, you've tuned in to Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, it's the way you like us, fresh every day and independent, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back. Imagine if you were a teenager and you found yourself in the Oval Office having a ringside seat in the midst of Watergate. Can you even begin to fathom what that must have been like? Well, our next guest has written a book, Downstairs at the White House. It's a story of a teenager, an Oval Office, and a ringside seat to Watergate. Donald Stinson joins us now. Donald, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks so much for having me on today.
Hey, what an honor. I mean, this is good fun here. I mean, to read your story, you're a graduate of American University. You're a former newspaper executive. I mean, you're living this life. I mean, do you feel like a little bit like Forrest Gump or something?
Absolutely like Forrest Gump. In fact, a lot of people said that. I have had a tendency my whole life to just kind of stumble into things, and this was no exception.
Well, let's start. You're a teenager. How did you end up in the White House?
Well, I stumbled into a program that allowed me to leave from my junior year of high school to enter American University in Washington. Mm-hmm. And that's what put me in Washington at such a young age, at 17. And, we're about the same age. You remember back in those days, you could kind of put yourself through college.
Right.
And I needed a job once I got there. So after being turned down by almost everybody, I finally met somebody who had a job in something that was called the Old Executive Office Building, which I had no idea what it was, as a clerk and a messenger. And I got the job, but the thing was is that I was so dumb. I didn't realize that actually that I was working in the White House complex for a couple of days until someone very nicely pointed it out.
Yeah, you got to be careful what doors you go through here. You know, you are in a secured area. Well, hey, I got donuts. People are hungry. You know, get out of the way.
But I was a government employee, and I had a top secret security clearance. And because, you know, I was handling a lot of...
Oh, great. 17 years old, like you got something Jared Kushner wants to have. you have a security clearance. And Ivanka doesn't, you know, she's having a hard time. She's hearing this and she's going, what? Okay. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I told you this is going to be fun.
Well, I started out working for an assistant to the president, who actually was a descendant of the Bush family of Anheuser-Busch.
Uh-huh.
And he was behind the development of the space shuttle. Fascinating guy.
Mm-hmm.
Then one day, I happened to be walking in the hallway, and the vice president's office, Vice President Agnew's office, was on the same floor. And I ended up walking into a guy, again, literally stumbling into somebody, with a percolator. Remember the old percolator?
Oh, yeah, right, exactly.
Filling it up with water, and I knocked into him and spilled water all over him, and somehow we ended up becoming friends.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of Spiro Agnew's speechwriters, and he helped me get a job on the correspondence staff, which was a fascinating experience because I got everything dumped on me since I was a kid that nobody else wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And we had people that wrote in on all sorts of things. We had a guy that wrote a letter every week with the theme Cranberry's America's Silent Hero. Why he wrote to the Vice President of the United States about that, I have absolutely no idea. But he was inventive.
Yeah.
Then there was a family in the Midwest who believed that they had been cranially wired. That was the term they used by the Martians. And they sent in little hats, little tinfoil hats for the vice president to wear.
Oh, wow.
And then as many things happened with this, because what I tried to do in the book is put in things that were poignant about President Nixon's resignation, Agnew's resignation, and then things that were funny and then things that were weird. And one of the things that came along as a result of something very weird was one of the greatest moments that I ever had there. Someone had sent in a garbage bag, and I didn't even know you could mail one. And, of course, so I got that, and I opened it up, and it was filled with little tiny pictures that had been cut out with a broken pair of electric scissors that were included, and then some claws that looked like they had blood on them. Well, I freaked out over that, and I took it down to the Vice Presidential Protective Division of the Secret Service and gave it to them. You know, to them it was kind of like, oh, yeah, it's Tuesday, you know. They weren't, you know, it was just another day.
Right.
And while I'm down there, one of the agents that I knew said, hey, Don, I want you to meet Mr. Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of went, yeah, whatever. Thank you. You know, nice to meet you, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he goes to me, hey, dummy, do you know that's Clint Hill? Well, most of us who remember that time, remember that Clint Hill was the Secret Service agent in JFK. Dallas who threw himself on the back of JFK's limousine.
Right.
And I never met anyone who out-heroed Clint Hill.
Mm.
And that was a great moment. In fact, within about the same week or 10 days, I happened to be in the West Wing of the White House and on an elevator, and John Connally got on, who had been the governor of Texas on that same day. And I ended up meeting two people that were in that car on November 22nd, 1963, which I certainly remember extremely well.
Now, did you get a chance to ask them any questions? I mean, like, come on, guys, who really killed the president? I mean, you know, you're 17 years old. They might excuse you for asking an obvious question that we're still asking today, you know?
Well, you know, I should have. You know, my father instilled me with a belief. I see that you were in sales at one time, and so was I. So, you know, they can't eat you. So go ahead and ask questions and say things, because the worst thing to do is fire you, but they can't eat you.
Right, exactly.
I should have asked some of those questions at that time, but I didn't, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I had a lot of, I was very blessed to have had experiences. I did. I ended up, after Agnew resigned, they had a party at their house and for all of us. And I ended up late at night sitting on the floor with him, a guy who was Bob Hope's nephew, who was, I mean, this was surrealistic, who was talking about the fact that he and Frank Sinatra had just given up a house that they had bought in D.C. And you're sitting around drinking beer, and Agnew made the comment, he said that he never really had wanted to be president. And then I had, you know, a couple of instances of conversations with President Nixon and then President Ford, because I stayed there for a while after.
Mm-hmm. So you did converse with Nixon and Ford. What was your conversation with Nixon about?
Well, I think maybe conversation is a stretch. It was more a moment where he saw someone with a pulse and he wanted to talk. I used to do when I finally wised up is that I used to go in. I worked in a little cubby hole in the East Wing after I worked for Vice President Agnew. And what I used to do, because I went to school full time and I worked full time, is I used to come in through the West Wing in the morning and then walk through the Rose Garden, which everybody's seen on television, because I could sometimes run into President Nixon and say, "Good morning, Mr. President," which would just make my day.
Right.
This one morning, I was carrying a book about Theodore Roosevelt, and he stopped me and asked me about the book, and then he started just talking about Teddy Roosevelt, and then that led into something about Winston Churchill. And I can say is that despite Watergate and all of those issues, he was absolutely brilliant. And I've never met anybody since who had that kind of voltage. No one, including other presidents.
Exactly. It just probably wouldn't have been appropriate to say, "What were you thinking?"
No.
No, probably not. Yeah.
I didn't need the job, you know.
So, yeah, right.
But President,
you know, listen to me. I'm freewheeling with your career here. Oh yeah, you're talking. You got, you know, only the most powerful man on the planet, and you're going to be a smart aleck because Bill Martinez, the Mexican mensch, told you that's what you're supposed to do. Yeah, that'll. Oh, this is so much fun, I'm telling you. Hey, this book is outstanding. We've got another segment here with Don Stinson. Because, you know, this is the kind of stuff, I mean, this is real life stuff. It's not all just the crazy legislation and the stuff that you see because that's what the media wants to tell you. I mean, this is a ground floor perspective, or as he says, downstairs at the White House, his new book. More from Don Stinson on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. I'm Bill Martinez. It's just about 18 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information on the show, check us out, BillMartinezLive.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
When did your light bulb go off? We're talking about that idea you have for a new product or app. Listen, if you want to make your idea a priority, but you don't know how to get it off the ground, you call Davison, the one company with over 25 years experience and exclusive process that turns ideas into products and apps that are found in retail stores and online. Our team has helped tens of thousands of people, just like you. Call now and ask for our free idea starter guide. We'll show you how to securely get started and protect your idea. Whether you have a patent or not, our process will get your idea ready to get in front of a corporation. Don't let your light bulb of an idea go out. Call Davison now for your free idea starter guide. Davison charges fees for services. 800-211-8392. 800-211-8392. 800-211-8392. Again, that's 800-211-8392.
Thank you.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
For more information and the interviews you love, go to BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, they're all right there for you. It's our gift to you because we're givers. That's the way we roll at 14 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. Don Stinson is with us. We're talking about his new book, Downstairs at the White House. Incredible story. I mean, and stories that come out of this. Imagine being a teenager and just, you know, the heck with protocol. I mean, they gave you a clearance and, you didn't have to worry about a key or anything like that. Did the pass restrict you to where you couldn't go behind certain doors?
Well,
supposedly.
The past didn't, but the Secret Service did.
Exactly.
I used to try to hang out. I loitered outside the Oval Office as much as possible. Just kind of see what was going on. And
I mean, you weren't real obvious, like putting a glass up against the door or anything like that, right? To listen in.
Not quite that. But I did get thrown out on a regular basis. it was a wonderful experience. But I did a lot of, you know, along with things like the day that Nixon resigned, the day before Nixon resigned, days that were just filled with very high tension, and that I relate in the book. But I also did, you know, the silly kind of things that teenagers did. I was the backup Easter Bunny in 1974. I got called into service because the other Easter Bunny got overheated, and I had to go change in a restroom that's inside the residence. And while I was in there changing, two uniformed Secret Service officers walked in and just started laughing and rolling on the floor. They went on to leave carrots on my desk after that for a while. And then one day I did the ultimate stupid teenage thing, which was I decided that I would walk from the east wing to the west wing across the north lawn, like the front lawn. Uh-huh. Well, that was like a really bad idea because I tripped off all these alarms and
my
agents came running. And then one of them.
You weren't in your Easter Bunny suit. This is just normal attire, right?
No, exactly.
Yeah, right.
But to add to the humiliation, one of the agents said, "Oh, don't worry about it. It's just the Easter Bunny." So, there are a lot of stories in there. I mean, I used to eat in the White House kitchen whenever I could. You know, as a kid, I was always hungry.
Oh, sure.
And
exactly.
Get leftovers from state dinners. And there's some ghost stories in there. I talk about working for Mrs. Nixon for a while. I once, one day, I mistook her for a maid. that almost got me fired.
Yeah,
it was actually Mrs. Nixon who saved me.
Well, you just were lucky you weren't running into Hillary. Then you'd have been more than fired, but that's okay. Fortunately, Mrs. Nixon had a little bit of a sense of humor.
She had a great sense of humor. Mm-hmm. She was a very, very lovely lady, and mm-hmm. and very kind. And in fact, the whole family was. And yeah. I was very fortunate to be there. The Fords were also extremely nice. And mm-hmm. I leave the book with a story about President Ford and I in the Oval Office,
mm-hmm.
which is very embarrassing. One day a kid came, I mean, I was down, when I say downstairs at the White House, I was almost down literally in the basement.
Yes.
And cause in my job, you couldn't get any lower. I was
hey,
like,
my goodness, they're dressing you in an Easter Bunny outfit. You're lucky they didn't. You're lucky they didn't dress you up as one of the turkeys, and then all of a sudden the president decides, well, I'm getting tired of pardoning these turkeys. We're going to execute them right here, right?
Yeah, that could have happened.
Hey, it's D.C., you know, so anything could happen. But anyway, go ahead. So,
crazy. But I think people will enjoy the story if there's I'll tell you one of the more poignant moments among many poignant moments was when Nixon left on the helicopter.
Yeah.
And while that was obviously a great historic moment, there was something else that I saw that almost beat that, and that was seeing that the officer who had been behind Nixon carrying the football of the nuclear
club. Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah.
As he got on the helicopter to leave, that officer, military officer, went and stood behind Vice President Ford, who, of course, became president just about an hour and a half later.
Exactly.
And that was very solemn. I had to sneak into the East Room to see President Nixon give his farewell speech. My children were able to pick me out in the back of the room on an old film and say, "Daddy, we never realized you were young."
Right.
And and then I snuck in again later. Actually,
warn him. You say, "This is what you see. Way I look. That's what you get when you get kids." You see,
that's right.
It's like my son. My son goes, "Hey, goes, Dad, you got string in your hair."
How true.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, lots of it. Thank you very much. Yeah.
So it was a great deal of fun. There was at one point one of the stenographers who was transcribing the Watergate tapes told me that she heard my voice on one of the system was voice activated.
Oh yeah, right. Huh?
And frankly, I would take dates in, you know, like late at night when I knew the president wasn't in town, and you know, give a tour of the Oval Office.
Oh, you mean date dates? I thought in lieu of donuts, you were taking dates. No, you mean real dates? Okay,
yeah.
All right.
And
so you take them into the Oval. What are you, Omarosa or something like that?
No, I didn't take them in. We just
okay. Oh, you got to them around. Yeah, Omarosa's going, "Hey, look at you. Want to see my office here? Sit in the chair. It's okay, you know. Me and the president, we're this tight."
That would have got me shot. So.
Exactly.
But I got to know a little bit as people would see in the book, Barry Goldwater
and
Scott, and who was the minority leader of the Senate. Those were the two guys, the two distinguished members of Congress who came to tell President Nixon that it was over.
Yeah.
And I ran into them just as they were coming out of the Oval Office that day. And back during Watergate hearings, remember the Senate?
Oh, yeah. Went on forever. Yes, exactly.
I used to take, I don't know what it was, because I was scared. I was never going to look in it, but envelopes to Republican members of the Senate who were on that committee. Every day I would get sent with something. And
you get an envelope? I mean, they just get an envelope and you take them to them. You don't even know what's in it?
There was a person who would come and get me and hand me the envelope and just say, "Go take it to so-and-so." So, you know, which in the summer heat in Washington was a disaster. It was a grand experience. Taught me a lot about a lot of things about the way the world works. about people. And one of the great things that I found out from it all was that the White House, at least in that time, was just like every other place. People,
yeah.
You got the same kind of crazy people, the same you know.
Even if they have clearance and all that, yeah, exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If you're crazy, you're crazy.
Right.
And so it was a fascinating.
And from your experience at a young age and, you know, banging in, bumping into speech writers, the vice president, on. And what was it like when I heard it was very poignant when President Nixon, you know, left the Oval Office and left the White House in those final moments. And when he talked to everybody, because that's what you hear from the people who were around him. They loved him. I mean, they were really, their hearts were aching, you know, for the president, because they thought, wow, just as you said, as brilliant as a guy as he was, you know, that something like this would befall him and he would leave in shame, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. Although, you know, there's an interesting side light to that, and at the Nixon Presidential Library and Museum in Yorba Linda, when it was being built, President Nixon demanded that the largest single physical exhibit in the museum was about Watergate.
Interesting.
Because he knew that was something that he could not escape, and that it had to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a 60-foot long display. Absolutely fascinating. But yeah, I was in the civil service, but most of these folks had given their lives to him, and there were a lot of tears, to say the least.
Yeah.
It was very moving.
Well, and so how long did you end up staying after President Nixon left?
I stayed until, I don't know, probably maybe the middle of 1975.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were making cutbacks at the White House, and I had a need to earn more money, so I went to the newspaper business.
Yeah.
It's
pretty bad when they're cutting back the Easter Bunny. Come on, for goodness sakes. Nothing sacred anymore, huh?
Boy, that was a miserable job.
I bet.
you can read about the about me, Porky Pig, and what happened with an egg. It's quite a story I put in there. I mean, I look back on that stuff and go, I can't believe that was some other guy who did that stuff a long time ago. But
and I got to imagine your friend said, look, you got to write a book, and you're thinking, how do I do this with all these stories? So, so how did the book come? We're wrapping this up here, Don. You and I could spend hours on this deal. But so in writing the book, how did the book come about?
Well, I just decided that I had bored people with these stories over the years, and I'd actually commit them to paper.
Yeah.
And people thankfully seem to like them, because it's been a bestseller in political humor on Amazon. So it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and downstairs at thewhitehouse.com, and I really hope that people will enjoy it. And
well, I'll tell you,
it's a light read.
For a time such as this, Don, with all the contention and everything that's going on in our political environment, it's nice to be able to laugh again. And I appreciate all the stories and what you've written. I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is good therapy for you, okay? The doctor is in the house. He prescribes, get your hands on the book. Downstairs at the White House, the story of a teenager, an Oval Office, and a ringside seat to Watergate. Donald Stinson on Bill Martinez Live. Don, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Bill, thank you. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. Thank you.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Fully cooked, ready to eat.